God's word will is good, acceptable, and perfect. It describes what God is. So there's not three levels of compliance to God. You say, well, I'll just be satisfied with the good will of God. Well, that's not what he's saying. His will is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. Amen. Now, he uses the word here, and be not conformed to this world. When we speak of the world, we talk of the, you know, there's terms used in the Bible that you got to understand what it's really saying, or you'll be lost in it. When it talks about the world, it's talking about the world system outside of the kingdom of God. The way people live and act and talk that do not have the Holy Ghost and are not baptized in Jesus' name. That's the world. It's the world system, the governmental system, the philosophy, the way of doing things, the way of thinking, acting, and being involved in things that people do outside of the kingdom of God. He says we are not to be conformed to that. We're not to fit into the world's mold. Now, if something, if we had a glass up here tonight and we poured water into it, the water would conform to the shape of the glass. The pressure is on the children of God to take on the shape, the form, the thinking, the actions, the ways of people outside of the kingdom of God. Now, Paul wrote to the Christians and said, don't be conformed to this world. You don't want to act like them. You don't want to talk like them. You don't want to go where they go. You don't want to dress like they dress. You don't want to speak like they speak. You don't want to do the things that they do. Because the majority of the things that the world does is against God's word. It is. The pressure is on to the child of God to go back like they were. But then he uses this a really interesting word here. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transformed comes from the Greek word metamorpho. Anybody know what metamorphosis is? Okay, I'll tell you. I'm a real scientist. I really wanted to have the teaching thing down here. I wanted to be among the people tonight. When you were in grade school, didn't some of you go around and you found a caterpillar? And at a certain time of the year, the caterpillar starts spinning a cocoon on a branch of a tree or limb or something. And the caterpillar, by weaving that around itself, it encased itself in that whatever that substance is there that they use to do that, and you can't see the caterpillar anymore. But one day, that cocoon, which is what it's called, starts to crack open, and out that old hairy, wiggly, ugly caterpillar that encased itself in that cocoon, when it begins to crack open, you have a beautiful butterfly. And what that Paul meant when he said, be ye transformed, our old ugly life of sin, our behavior, our actions, our thoughts, our way of doing things. We came to God like that. But he says, I want you to be transformed. Metamorphe. There's a change that comes, and it starts on the inside. God doesn't want us to stay like we were. You know, I'll just use this. Please don't think it's crass. It's very possible, and I'm sure it's happened. There have been women that have come to church in a string bikini and hit the altar repented and received the Holy Ghost. You say, oh, God approved of that. No, God didn't approve of that. God accepted their repentance. And there's going to be a metamorpho go on here. The life is to be transformed, changed, a change brought forth within. That is the work of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? There's no way in this world anybody could be holy without receiving the Holy Ghost. Okay. And so, transformation. What causes, other than the transformer is the Holy Ghost itself. But what did Paul speak about? He said, don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed. And here's the thought. By the renewing of your mind. Remember, God said, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. He said, my ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, as the heaven is from the earth. And so, if we're going to elevate ourselves, or we're going to be elevated from the thoughts that are not God's thoughts and the ways that are not God's ways, we're going to have to renew the way we think until we think like God wants us to think. Now, when I was growing up at the church, I grew up at church, but not in church. I was in the building, but I wasn't in the kingdom of God. I would say, well, I don't think we should do that. I don't think if this matters. I don't feel like, you know, because I was lost. I didn't have the mind of God. But when the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost, something began to happen in my thinking. Apostle Paul said it like this. The things he used to hate, he now loves. The things he used to love, he now hates. Why? There is the renewing of the mind. Now, there's only one way for the mind to be renewed. And that is for us to know the mind of God. You can think like God thinks. You'll not be God. You'll be God's son or daughter or child. But you can come to know the mind of Christ. Amen. And it will come, what Hosea was telling the people, the reason Israel was away from God is they didn't think like God thought. They didn't feel like God felt. Their ways were not God's ways. They were going in opposite directions. And so Hosea was saying that they were being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And so tonight, I don't have a title for this, and I'm just telling you, it may seem a little disorganized to you. It's certainly not the normal way that I would preach or teach. But I'm sharing with you some things that I've been meditating on in the last couple of weeks, and the Lord just directed me in this direction tonight. And so just bear with me tonight. And I believe it will help. Well, I know it'll help you. Praise God. It'll help. It helped me so that it can help an old goat like me. It can certainly help in young chickens and spring people like yourselves. After all, I'm just old school. I hate that word. I hate that. That irritates me no more. I just can't tell you that hates me. It irritates me. Anyway, I'm going to preach a message here one of these days. Give me that old-time religion. I don't know when God lets me. The Lord told Jeremiah, stand in the way and ask for the old path. Where is that good way? And walk in it, and you'll find rest for your soul. So I'm going to be old school there. Praise God. This new fang-dangle stuff just doesn't cut the mustard. All right. Now, So we're talking, remember, God's ways are higher than our ways, and people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And yet Paul said that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And when our mind is renewed, we will find out or determine what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I want to tell you today that, let's go past that. Anyway, now, in the book of James, we're going to come to Psalm 119 in just a minute. But in the book of James, this is the first new epistle of the New Testament written. It's written by the half-brother of Jesus. He said this in the book of James, the first chapter, starting with verse 22. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Why? He says, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He's talking about a mirror. Okay? For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway, that means immediately, right away, forgetteth what manner of man he was. The person that hears the word preached and taught at church or wherever and goes home and doesn't do it. He's like the guy that ate breakfast and got scrambled eggs on his face. And he looked in the mirror and he saw, wow, I've got scrambled eggs on my face. But he walked out of the bathroom and went to work and wondered why everybody pointed at him and laughed. Because when you look in the mirror and you see you got scrambled eggs on your face, what are you supposed to do, Sister Ella? Wash it off. Right? So when we come to church and we hear the Word of God preached and taught, and it says you got scrambled eggs on your face. What are we supposed to do? If we're a doer of the Word, let's, for example, say the preacher's teaching on lying. And you know you're a liar. Now, don't get upset. In the New Testament, in that Bible, Paul wrote to the churches, and he said to the churches, saved people, I'm going to point at you, but you're not listening. He said, lie not one to another. Now, he wasn't talking to Joe Sinner down at the saloon. He was talking to people baptized in Jesus' name, full of the Holy Ghost. But they weren't quite transformed yet. They still had some of that old cocoon hanging on them. And then he went on and said, let him that stole steal the more. So there were some people in the church at Colossae and in Ephesus that were lying and stealing. Of course, it's not ever like that at Life Tabernacle, at New Life Apostolic Church. But he said, the person that hears the word and doesn't do it, so the subjects say they're talking online or stealing or cussing or whatever. And they hear that preach and then they go home. While they hear it, it pricks their heart. Oop, they got me. I know how it feels. I've been got before. Lots of times. And I like it. Because I want to be transformed. I don't want to be that old creepy, crawly caterpillar. They're ugly and they're hairy and I don't want to be like that. I want to be an angel. No, I don't want to be an angel. But anyway, I want to be a child of God. That's what I want to be. And so, James said, don't be hearers of the word and not doers, because it's like the person looking in the mirror, seeing they got a dirt on their face or whatever, and then they just, after they turn away from the mirror and they go off, they don't do anything about it, and people laugh at them and make fun of them, and they get all offended because somebody's laughing at them when they could have just fixed it by washing it off. And you see, so he said, let's read on. He said, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Then he said this. But whoso looketh into the, notice this, the perfect law of liberty. Now we have liberty. We call it freedom. We have here, we sing about freedom here in this church, don't we? Yeah, we do. I've heard us singing. I like it. All right. Freedom. It doesn't mean we're free to do as we please. It simply says we've been made free from the law of sin and death, and we have liberty to live within the confines of God's Word. And so he said, he that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And I believe every one of us in here tonight, we want to be blessed in our deeds. I would hate to think about living without the hand of God on my life. It just scares me a witless. I say, God, whatever you do, please don't take your hand off my life. If I mess up, Lord, keep your hand on me. Reveal it to me. Talk to me. Show me. Let your word hit me. A friend of mine, a mentor and a longtime friend of mine, I have a Bible. I call it my Take to Church Bible. It's a small Bible, but then I have my preaching and my study Bible. But most of the time, I bring my small Bible to church with me. And this mentor of mine, he gave me this Bible. He's now retired. He's 80-something years old. He wrote in the front of my Bible, "This book will keep you from sin. Sin will keep you from this book." You say, is that really true? It's really true. I really believe some people do not read the Bible because it gets to them. It turns the light on. It reveals things that they wish they hadn't read. And they thought, well, if I don't read it, I won't be accountable. We're going to be accountable whether we read it or not. And so the beautiful thing is we are able to read the Word of God. And so it's important, just like you eat most every day except fast day. Don't we? We all look pretty healthy to me. Right? Just like we eat every day, sometimes several times a day. Your soul, your inner man, that spiritual part of you needs this book. Now, since I've been to Gallup, I've been able to read the Word of God more than I've ever been able to read it in my entire life. And I'm not bragging about this. I'm just telling you this is my MO. This is how I operate as a Christian, not as a preacher, as a Christian. Just a Christian. I get up every morning about 6 o'clock. That's when the alarm goes off. I get up, take a shower, get dressed. And I go to Denny's on the north side. There's a booth I sit in, the same one every day. In fact, they see my truck pull in the driveway. They just put the coffee and the ice water on the table. They know what's wrong with me. And I eat two things there. I'll either eat scrambled eggs, hash browns, and a strip of bacon and 2 pieces of toast. Some days I do that. Other days I have 4 pieces of toast and 4 pieces of bacon. And I drink about 3 cups of coffee and a glass of water. I don't have to be to work till 9 o'clock. And so that time from, I get there around probably 7 o'clock. From 7 o'clock to 8:30 is my time to read the Word of God. And it kind of irritates me if I get interrupted. Sometimes I get interrupted and witness to people, maybe teach a Bible study or something. But that, and sometimes there's the cherry working business. My time was really crowded. I didn't get to read the Word of God as I normally had. And I felt depraved. And I'm going to tell you, it was a physical feeling, Brother Benzuela, was when I sat down at that table and I opened the Bible and I begin to read. A wonderful sense of satisfaction and peace. It was like a sponge sucking up water. My soul needed the Word of God. Now, I can quote a lot of the Bible. I'm not bragging about that. That's just the way it is. But I'm telling you, you never reach a spot in your walk with God that you do not need to read the Bible. The reason is the Bible is a living book. You can read the same passage 49 times. And one day you open up it and you read it, and the light goes on. And all of a sudden, it lights up an area in your life that you didn't even know existed, but it spoke to it. Sometimes it was a comfort. Sometimes it was a pricking. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'm going to tell you, I've actually read the Bible and read across something, and out loud I said, "Ow!" Because it's dealt with an area in my life that I didn't even realize I was having trouble in, but the Word of God, and here I am, I'm looking at the mirror, and that ugly thing in the mirror I don't like. God, I didn't know I was like that. Have I been doing that? Did I say that? Did I act like that? The Word said I did. Well, what am I going to do? I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, "God, I'm sorry. And with your help and grace, I'm getting that mud off my face right now." Why? Because I'm telling the world I'm a child of God. And the Word of God said, children of God, don't act, talk, be, go like that. See, yeah, that Bible is written, the Old Testament, New Testament, 2,000 years ago. It's outdated. Friend, it's not outdated. Nothing caught God by surprise. Enough that He knew what was going to happen. He put it in His Word so that we could be transformed. Transformed. But if I don't look into the mirror of the Word. Now, you come to church, pastor's going to preach, somebody's going to, that's what I like about preaching. There's supernatural about preaching. It is supernatural. What do you mean? When I pastored a long time ago, I used to be preaching and teaching or whatever the occasion would be, and I would see people back in the back. They would be talking, not in the back, but in the congregation, they'd be talking. Sometimes they'd be laughing. Sometimes they'd have a frown on their face. Sometimes they'd just look like smoke coming out of their ears. And so I thought, what's going on? And after church, I'd say, "What were you all talking about back there? What were you laughing about? What made you so mad back there tonight?" And they'd say, "Did somebody talk to you today before church?" "So I talked to a lot of people before church." "What do you mean? Did they tell you about..." I said, "No. You repeated word for word what we'd been saying." I didn't. The Word did. Because God knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And so when you come to the house of God, don't get upset at the preacher and think that he's just picking on you. There's a God in heaven that speaks to His servants. And He puts the Word in their heart and their mind. And they preach and they teach. And the Word of God goes out there and begins to work in our life. Now, so we want to be transformed. Now let's go through some scriptures here in the book of Psalm 119. We're talking about reading the Word, that need to read the Word. Amen. Psalm 119 says this in verse number 7. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" It's not talking about just the masculine gender. A young person, a person, any person. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways?" Remember, God said, Your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. And Paul said we got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Don't ask God to change His mind. He ain't changing. That's one of His attributes. He said, I'm the Lord and I change not. And so, here we go. So He said, how can a young man cleanse his ways or way? How can he renew his mind? How can his way become God's ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Why do we need to be in the word of God daily? So that our ways can be cleansed. That our ways that are not the way, with the way I do things or think or whatever, you, whatever, that is contrary to God, the only way I can be transformed is by the word, work of His word and His spirit. And the word and the spirit always go together. Amen. The true worshipers, John said, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So when we talk about truth, we're talking about the Word of God. Spirit, we're talking about the Holy Ghost. And so Solomon asked the question, how is a young man going to get his thoughts to be like God's? He's going to have to take heed unto God's Word. Can we get an amen there? Amen. Amen. God's Word's right. All right, now let's look down at Psalm 119 in verse number 11. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. If we're not in the Word daily, regularly, consistently, we are hurting ourselves. We're short-circuiting God's work of transforming our life to cause us to be like Him. I can confess to you there have been many times when I started to say something that I wanted to say, or do something that I wanted to do. And I'm going to tell you, it's almost like, it was so clear to me, it was like God spoke out loud. Said, the scripture came to my mind. And I said, I got a choice now. Am I going to do what I want to do, or am I going to be transformed? I might have been wanting to give somebody a large piece of my mind. And the Lord said, you got to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, most of the time, I'm fast to wrath. That's my nature. That's what I'm. I got a real short fuse, and I know how to light it. And sometimes I read in Proverbs, boy, it just got me, Sister Jack, as reading Proverbs. I'm reading in a restaurant there, and it says, there is that pierces like a sword. I said, ouch. Because I'm a kind of direct person, and not everybody appreciates that, and so forth and so on. And so I said, well, Lord, you got to help me. I don't want to have the speech that pierces like a sword. I just read right below that, said a soft answer turns away wrath. We already know what the hard answer does, don't we? It goes to, I said, a froward man calls for blows. What do you mean? Are you going to take that off of him? I wouldn't take it if I was you. I'd knock him from here to next week. A froward mouth calls for blows. Do you get what I'm saying? In fact, I'd like for you to take that. I don't know how many I'll take or not. We did it in Ventura. I asked our church for a whole year, everybody to read one chapter of the book of Proverbs a day. And if you read one chapter of the book of Proverbs a day, you will read the book of Proverbs through 12 times in a year, because there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. How many likes short sermons and short Bible studies? Well, come on, don't be ashamed. Read the book of Proverbs, because every verse is a sermon. They're one sentence. And I'm telling you, he gets to talk about lying. He talks about adultery. He talks about how to keep your kids from being a gangbanger. It's all in there. In the book of Proverbs. And so, what I'm saying is that the Word of God. So he said, thy Word, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee? I promise you, if you read the Word of God, I'm not talking about getting a PhD. That just means piled higher and deeper. We're not talking about that. We're talking about just everyday, ordinary Joe, sister, brother, boy, girl. Just read the Word of God daily. I tell you what will happen when you start to, when you're thinking wrong, you're talking wrong, you're going wrong, you're doing wrong, you're where you should not, you shouldn't be. I promise you that that Word will speak right back to you right then. And then you'll be faced with a decision. Am I going to, was that you, God? Well, of course it was God. It wasn't the devil. If you're looking for good advice, you ain't going to get it from him. And so he said, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. How's it going to be hid in our heart? I'm not talking about, some people said they can't memorize. I'm not talking about memorizing the scripture at this point in time. It may happen. If you read it frequently, it will. But the point I'm saying is, if you hide it in your heart, you read it, you think about it, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, it will speak to you at a critical time in your life. Maybe you're going through a trial, and you don't know what to do. Well, I'm just going to call pastor. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's good, call pastor. But I'm telling you, you just need to stand on your 2 feet. He can't follow you around everywhere. And so, if you're going through a difficulty, well, I'm just not going to go to live for God anymore. The Word of God will come to you. It said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Maybe you're feeling lonely and you're getting depressed. The Word of God will come to you and say, lo, I'm with you always. I will never leave you or forsake you. Understand what I'm talking to you about? The Word of God. He said, so I hid it in my heart that I should not sin against thee. All right, let's look at Psalm 119, verse number 49 and 50. Listen to this. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Listen to this. This is my comfort in my afflictions, for thy word hath quickened me. Comfort when you're going through it, when you feel abandoned, when you've been done wrong, when you've been betrayed or whatever, I can't think of any, or maybe you're just generally depressed. Notice the psalmist said, remember the word unto thy servant on which thou hast caused me to hope. See, there is no hope. That's not what the Word of God said. Two or three times in the book of Psalms, David made this statement. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? He was simply saying, why am I depressed and discouraged? Of course, nobody here ever got depressed or discouraged, so we're talking to the choir in the church next door. Nobody in here ever feels like quitting. Nobody here, no. We're all spiritual giants. Well, what did David say? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. When the situation is hopeless, you're powerless, there's nothing you can do, you're depressed, you're down, you don't know what to do, I'll tell you what the Word of God says. Remember the word that thou hast caused me to hope, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to trust in what you said, God. I don't know where you are. Job said, I go forward and he's not there. I go backwards and he's not there. I look on my right hand and my left and he said, but I know the Lord knows the way that I take. In other words, God knows right where I am. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows what I'm going through. He knows how I feel. He knows everything about it. So what did he say here? Let me read it again. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. It has given me life. One time in Ventura, I was very, 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 very sick. And I was laying on the couch in the living room. Now, it is a peculiar to my makeup, just a little bit of fever. When I get a little bit of fever, you ask my wife, I'm as batty as a June bug. Just a little bit of fever. And I just get. And I had a lot of fever. It was like way up there. And I'm laying on the couch and I'm throwing up and I'm running to the bathroom and I'm, you know, just high fever and then chills and just genuinely thoroughly miserable. And my wife and daughter started laughing at me because here I am laying on there, I'm sick, and I'm quoting scriptures. Going after the boom, 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 boom. Well, it's better than cussing, isn't it? It's better than saying, why me, God? Why me? Oh, God, I did not. No! The Word of God came to me in that time of distress, and it spoke peace to my soul. It kept me on track. It kept me from God only knows what, but His Word came to me. Did you get well? Of course I got well. The Lord said, pray for lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I'm here. What I'm saying is, in your distresses, in the midst of your anger. Now, there's nobody in here that never gets angry. I'm going to tell you, if you say you never get mad, you're a liar and you need to repent. And when you get angry, that little doomahickey in there behind your teeth, if you don't watch it, it won't be Joe Christian talking. And you know, the Bible said the tongue was an unruly member full of deadly poison, set on fire of herald, sets on fire the course of nature. You know, some guy comes to church with a black eye because his tongue got set on fire by nature and he said the wrong thing to the wrong guy. And he just gave it to him. And so, when you're angry, the Bible does say, it doesn't say it's a sin to get angry. Everybody say, thank God. But the Bible says, be angry and sin not. So being angry is not an excuse for saying or doing things that are ungodly, that are unholy. Because the Word of God tells us that we can be angry and sin not. What's going to keep us from doing that? The Holy Ghost and the Word of God is going to speak to us. That is, if we've read it. Amen. And so he said his word. Now look at verse 59, Psalm 119, 59. This one's loaded. This is one of them one certain sermons. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy righteousness, thy testimonies. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I began to think about how I was living. And I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. A transformation. What transformed? Well, I begin to think on my ways. And the subject of the book of Psalm 119 is the God's laws, precepts, statutes, and commandments. And so this man, the psalmist said, I thought on my ways. Have you ever thought on your ways? I'll tell on myself one. One time, there was a guy sent to my church from another church, of our churches, and he was sent to my church because he had been in trouble with the law. And so he was sent to my church, and I ministered to him and pastored him. And I saw he was going off track, and I told him, hey, man, they're going to be calling me for a report, and when they call me for a report, they're going to get a report about you. And so you better straighten up and fly right. I mean, kindly I said that, but I really meant it. Well, he didn't, and they picked him up. So his brother, who went to another church, came by, and he said, they're going to have a hearing from my brother, and I want you to come and speak for him so he won't go back to prison. And I said, brother, you do not want me in court, because that will be a straight ticket to prison if they talk to me. No, I don't want to go to court. I was at my office one day, and the door opened. A guy came into my office, a guy that asked me to go to court, and I told him it wouldn't be a good thing. I'm standing there just chit-chatting with me. I'm unsuspecting. And he serves me a subpoena. He said, you're served. I thought, oh, God, open it. He said, you're required to be in a court such and such day. If you fail to appear, you will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And I handed it back to him and said, take it back. He said, you're served. And the date coincided with the fact that I'd paid ahead of time. I think it was $150. I'd paid ahead of time to go on a fishing trip on that day. And the money was non-refundable. And you can ask my wife. It was Monday morning I was supposed to go. It's Sunday night after church. I've got my tackle box by the door. I've got my lunches by the door, my fishing poles by the door. I've got my fishing rubber boots by the door. And I'm walking the floor, and smoke is coming out of my ears. I am not. Oh, I called the attorney, and I said, please, he said, preacher, if you don't show up, we're going to put you in jail, and you're going to get $1,000 fine. I said, I'm not going to court. I am not going to court. I'm going fishing. And my wife said, honey, you got it. Is this right, Sister Allred? I'm walking the floor. I am so angry. I'm just fit to be tied. And I'm walking the floor. And somewhere around 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, came to me. Now, this is really going to look good. They're going to put this in the paper. United Pentecostal pastor thrown in jail for contempt of court. I said, I don't care. I've done spent my money. I'm going fishing. Like it or lump it, I don't care. I'm going fishing. My wife said, honey, you can't do the camera. I don't care. I mean, I was just... Somewhere around 3, I was supposed to leave to get on the boat at 4 o'clock in the morning. And somewhere before 4 o'clock in the morning, the Word of God got through to me. Obey them that have the rule over you. Well, I knew the judge wasn't no preacher, and certainly the attorney wasn't. And I said, okay. I went to bed. I showed up in court on Monday. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And that old brother that served me the subpoena, he's sitting there laughing up his sleeve. Not up his sleeve. He's laughing out loud at me. And the attorney that subpoenaed me came up to me and said, we don't need your testimony, preacher. And this guy that subpoenaed me, he leans out in the aisle and says, how was your fishing trip, preacher? I'm glad the Word of God can get through all of that stuff. I just smiled and walked out of the courtroom and said, what an idiot. I'm telling you, the Word of God will check you when you don't want it to. When you wish you'd have never read it. But I'm going to tell you, if we're going to be transformed, we're going to have to get into the Word of God. All right, let's move real quick. Look at Psalm 119, 97, and 98. We just got to read these because we got to get done. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Listen to this. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than my enemies. You know what your enemies are? The world, the flesh, and the devil. That's your enemies. You have more trouble with your flesh and the world than you ever do with the devil. There's only one devil. He can't be at your house and mine at the same time. And so we have what we think is the devil is really our flesh. You can blame it on the devil and say, well, it's his fault, so I'm not held accountable. But you're just deceiving yourself. It is your flesh that wants to break out. Amen. Okay, and so he said, your word has made me wiser than all my enemies. If you'll read the Word of God when your flesh wants to break out, the Word of God will check you. It'll stop you. It'll speak to you. It'll talk to you. And so that is the benefit. But it can't do it if you don't know the Word of God. Can you say amen? How did Jesus win the victory over Satan? He didn't say, bless God, I'm God, get out of here. No. Every time Satan tempted him, what did Jesus say? If you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. He said, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the Son of God. He said, well, the Bible, and the devil quotes the Bible too. He knows it probably better than you do. He quoted it back. He said, well, you know, jump off of this thing because the Word of God said that the angels will bear you up if you dash your foot against the stone. And he came back with the Scripture, didn't he? And so if Jesus, God, manifest in the flesh, overcome temptation, he didn't pull a God on him. He just laid the Word on him. And if that's how Jesus overcome there, we don't have to pull a God. We're not God. We're less than God, way far from God. If we will lay the Word of God on that situation, it will keep us out of trouble. It'll keep us right. It'll keep us clean. It'll keep us pure. We won't have that condemnation in our heart. But if you don't know what the Word says, you can't lay it on Him. All right. Now, let's go a little further here. Now, we're just about done. Psalm 119, 104. Let's see what that says. It says here, 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. I get understanding. I hate every false way. There are some things that God hates. Do you know what they are? Do you know what God hates? There's only one way to find out. And let Him tell you. He'll tell you in His Word. Now, a good word study that would be good for you to do is, if you got a concordance, just get down your concordance and just look up the word abomination. Abomination is something utterly detestable to God. It is something that God absolutely has hated forever. Not just 1 week or 2 weeks. He hated it in the Old Testament. He hates it in the New Testament. Okay, he hated it yesterday. You'll find about that. Just do that word study. I'm not going to do that for you. You do it. Now, so he said here in this verse, the thing that I wanted to mention is, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Now, let's look again at one more tier in Psalm 119, 133. He said here, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. He said, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity be found in me. Or what I misquoted it there. Iniquity have dominion or authority over me. Iniquity is sin. And he's saying, order my steps in your word so that sin won't have control over me. Can you say amen? Now, in closing, let's look at Psalm number 1. I don't know what we called this tonight. Beans and taters, I think. Taters, you know what a common tater is, don't you? Just a plain old tater. Okay. It talks about the blessed man. Psalm number 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth on the seat of the scornful. Okay. Verse 2, but his delight, the word delight is used here, it means pleasure. His pleasure is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. The word meditate comes from an old English word, to ruminate, to ruminate. And the root word of ruminate is rumen. In animals that have a multi-divided stomach, like a cow, sheep, goats, those so forth and so on, like animals that have a multi-divided stomach, the first division of their stomach is called the rumen. And so, old Elsie the cow gets up in the morning when the dew's on the clover. And she's going around eating clover. And she chews on it a couple of times and swallows it. And she does that till the rumen is full. By this time, the sun is up and it's hot. So, old Elsie the cow, where does Elsie the cow go? Or Tony the bull, it don't matter. You'll find them over in some shady spot laying down. And they're meditating. They're ruminating. What happens is they fill up that first division of their stomach. They don't chew it very good. They just choke it down. But now they're laying over there. They brought up the hay or the whatever, the oats or the clover out of that first part of their stomach. And they are now digesting it. They're chewing it again. And they're getting all the goody out of it. David said, the happy man, the blessed man. What does it say? Let's read it again. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He comes to church, the Word of God, he's just stuffing it in. He's just shouting and running and liking it. And the Word of God is going forth. He's taking it all in. Too many people don't do what the cow does. They go home and forget what they heard. But the person that knows the Word of God, when they get home, before they go to sleep, when they get up in the morning, while they're working the next day, Brother Arnie, they're chewing a cud. Oh, that word that they heard, that Bible study, there might have been one scripture in that lesson that just spoke directly to them. They're digesting it. And David said, that's the blessed man, the person, the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, that meditates in God's law. I'm telling you, I can do a job I absolutely hate. That's not what I have right now. I've done jobs that I've absolutely hated, but because the Word of God was in my heart, it didn't matter. I was chewing the cud, brother, it didn't. The day was gone, and I just spent all day thinking about the Word of God, what I'd heard or what somebody had said to me, and I went home happy instead of mad, because the Word of God is meditate. Stand with me tonight. And so the blessed person is the person that, number one, takes pleasure in the law of the Lord. And they meditate. It has benefits. What do you mean? He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you want that? Meditate in God's law. Read God's law. Etch it in your heart and your spirit. Talk about it between yourselves. Amen. Now, it's not... You say, why did you teach this lesson today? I taught this lesson because I felt directed of the Lord. But listen, friends, we all have things that we need to overcome. Me and you and the guy sitting on either side of you. We all have things to overcome. We have things that we've got to change in our lives. Our ways that are not like God's ways. It doesn't mean we're lost. It just means that we're not where we ought to be yet. He's still working on us. I know we sing a song here, and I have to admit it irritates me a little bit, but that's just me. Just forget that. But every once in a while we start singing a song, "This is how we overcome," and people jump up and down and run the aisles. That's not how you overcome. I'm sorry. Jumping up and down and run till you fall over dead, and you ain't going to overcome nothing. I'm sorry. That it makes you feel good to sing it. Keep singing it. It's up to you. But I'm going to tell you, the way you overcome is you take what this word says about your life that's not in line with God, and you say, "I love your law, Lord. You make me wiser than all of my enemies. I can clean my way up. I can get my act together, God, by taking heed to your law. I love your law, Lord. And I can overcome anything and everything that comes my way. Not because I'm a big shot, because I'm not, but because his word will teach me how to do it." And let me read you a verse of scripture you're familiar with, and we're going to love God together tonight. "Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." That means freedom. But here's where the freedom comes. "But we all, with open face," that means you drop your guard. Open face literally means without a veil. Nothing covered. "But we all, with open face, behold, as in a glass," a mirror, "the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." That cannot happen unless we know what the Word of God says. And I just want to encourage people today. It was quite a few people reading the Word of God daily, and that's really good. I just want to encourage you. Stay in the Word. It's not just for preachers, friends. It's every child of God. We can behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We can look in the mirror of the Word and we're going to see Jesus. We're also going to see ourselves, and it will reflect to us what we need to do or change to be like Jesus. Do you want to be like Jesus? Give me the cute chord of C. Can you give me a C? To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. To be like him, we got to look at him. He can only bring to your remembrance what you once read. And I promise you, this living book, it will speak to us. It'll transform our lives. We'll win the victory. We'll overcome. And that beautiful butterfly is going to come out from that ugly old caterpillar. We'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen. Do you want a new mind? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. It will come to us. Now, we're not shouting tonight, and that doesn't bother me. But would you just shut your eyes and lift up your hands tonight and begin to talk to the Lord, not about anybody except yourself. Say, "Lord, I'm in your house. I'm in your presence. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I want to please you. I want to be like you." And I realize tonight, God, that there's probably quite a few of my thoughts and ways that are not like you, Lord. But would you just transform me, Lord? Would you let your word speak to me, Lord? Let your word be my daily delight. Let me meditate on it before I go to sleep at night, Lord. Let me meditate on the word of God I heard at church tonight, or the message we heard last week, Bible study somewhere, Lord. That part that pricked my heart, that part that dealt with me. Lord, I don't want to go away from church with egg on my face and it be there tomorrow. I want to take care of it right in your presence tonight. I want you to do that transforming work in my life tonight, Lord. Help each one of us, God, every saint of God in this house. These are good people. Lord, we love you with all of our heart. I pray, God, that your word would just dwell in us richly, Lord. That it would, we could just meditate on your word day and night. That those changes that seem so difficult, they'll come easily, Lord, because your word will empower us. Your spirit will help us, Lord. Your grace will be sufficient, and in our life will be changed into the same image, even as by your spirit tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Talk to somebody next to you tonight and say, I'm going to do my best to be in the word more than ever before. I'm just not going to hop here and there. I'm going to read his word. I want it to speak to me. And when it talks to me, I want to listen. I want it to move me by God's spirit tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all come find a place to pray. Seek God's word in our heart. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If we can get the men on this side to pray, we'll get the women on this side to pray. You can kneel and stand, do whatever you need to do. Let's come in one mind and one accord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Help me to look into the mirror tonight.